So, Lord, take my lips and speak your word through them. Take our minds and think your thoughts through them. And take our hearts, making them a place for your spirit. Amen. Well, may I say, first of all, what a great delight it is to be with all of you here once again in St. Philip's Church. And in this pulpit, I mean, I always think I'm nearer heaven when I'm in this pulpit. Once you get up here, it's quite good, but it's the getting up that's the challenge. That's probably a parable of the Christian life. It's good also to be here as Father Jeff Miller begins his ministry in this place. I remember preaching in Beaufort just as he was leaving, and here I am again. So the bad pennies turn up in unexpected places, don't they? But it is good to see him here at this time, and we pray, of course, for God's great blessing for all of you in what is to come, what surprises and what continues. Talking about the ends and beginnings of ministry, Jesus is here in this passage that we've just heard from the gospel at the climax of his public ministry. He is at the height of all that he has done. He has raised Lazarus from the dead. He has entered Jerusalem in great triumph. And even the foreigners, the Greeks, have come wanting to see him. But in what Jesus says at this point, he is not being triumphalistic at all. In fact, he turns to what is about to happen, to his coming betrayal, the pain, physical, mental, and spiritual, that is to come, and of course to the cross. But he knows that his mission is incomplete without that rejection and pain and death. That will be the true climax. When I am lifted up, he says, I will draw everyone to myself. The mission of Jesus is not complete. And so here we find him in these verses that have been read out to us. In his last public address to the world around him, after this, he is to speak only to his disciples in St. John's Gospel, until, of course, he is preached again in the resurrection. Here he is once again, for the last time, appealing to his listeners. And what is he saying? St. John in the Gospel emphasizes the urgency of what he is saying. Jesus cries out and says, this is not a learned seminar. This is not an informal conversation over lunch. This is an urgent call before the situation changes out of all recognition. First of all, he reminds those who are listening to him that he is bringing God's word to them. He is receiving God's word, and he is conveying what he receives to his hearers. Now, in this, of course, Jesus is not unlike the prophets of the Old Testament. They also had the word of God given to them, and they also then proclaimed that word to those who were around them, however uncomfortable it may have been for them. But Jesus is not only a prophet who receives a word from elsewhere and conveys it to the people. In the Islamic world, for instance, Jesus is revered as such a prophet. He is spoken of in this way as are the other prophets. But in this passage, there is a play on the words of Jesus that the hearers hear, and Jesus as himself the Word. And you know already, at the very beginning of St. John's Gospel, that is made clear to us. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is not just receiving something from outside and conveying it, however valuable it may be, to his listeners. He is himself the Word. And in the original, this distinction is brought out between the words of Jesus and who he is as God's eternal Word. We've just sung about that. God's eternal Word. The Word by whom the universe is structured. The Word by whom we have the capacity to think about the world in which we live. The Word that allows us to make sense of our lives. The Word who is from the beginning with the Father, and the Word who is also himself, therefore, God. This is the Word by whom we have to judge everything. You see, if the world is as it is because of the Word, because our minds can think as they can because of the Word, because our relationships are ordered by the Word because of who he is, then if we live out of sync with that Word, contrary to God's reasoning, to God's plan for us and for his world, then we find that the Word becomes judgment. Jesus says he does not judge anyone in his earthly ministry. But the eternal Word brings about judgment if we live outside, contrary to, against, hostile to the Word as God's plan, purpose, and destiny. He speaks of himself as the eternal Word, and not just words given to him by a God who is other than him. But then he speaks of himself as light. You see, I have come as light into the world, that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Light in the world. Well, again, because he reveals God to us, he is the light who brings us our knowledge of all that God is. In this sense, for Christians, Jesus is the primary revelation of God. It is by him that we understand everything else about how God makes himself known. Even the Bible, inspired word of God as the Bible is, we understand and live the Bible in the light of Jesus Christ. Of course, as Christians, from time to time, we have experience of God, whether in prayer, through other Christians, in the ministry of the saints, whatever it may be, we do have experiences of God. We may even say revelations. How are we to judge whether they are authentic or not? Again, we judge by the light of the revelation in Jesus Christ. No private revelation, no interpretation of the Bible can be authentic if it is not immediately related to the one who is the light of the world. I have come as light into the world, not only to reveal God to us, but also to enlighten us in the darkness of our minds, to rescue us from ignorance and from error, to release us from our superstitions, from our captivity to our customs and to our cultures, to reach those dark corners of our lives where nothing else can reach. Certainly, as someone said to me after the first service, the light of Jesus enlightens us. And also in the sense that it is by this light that we begin to see. You see, he doesn't just reveal God to us, but he helps us to see the world and ourselves in a new way. The Christian faith is many things, but it is also a worldview. It is a way of seeing the world in the light of Jesus. You see, once we see the world in that new way, nothing is ever the same again, is it? When C.S. Lewis got off that omnibus in London, nothing was ever the same again. In one way, of course, everything was the same. The same foggy London, the same red buses, the same traffic on the road, and yet it was all different because now he saw in the light of Christ. He reveals God to us. He makes us see the world and ourselves in a new way, and then we also become lights in the world. You are, he said, the light of the world. Now, of course, this is a borrowed light. This is not a native light that belongs to us by virtue of our nature. It is light that is taken from Christ, borrowed, but nevertheless real. Not just a fiction of our own imagination. God has indeed brought us into a new relationship with him through all that Jesus has done for us. That doesn't depend on us, depends entirely on him. But we too, as St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, painfully, gradually, eventually become the rightness of God. Lights in the world. You are also lights in the world, he says. How important this is becoming in today's world, not just for individual Christians, but for Christian communities. To be seen as places where the light shines out in the encroaching darkness. Of course, you've come to worship God here. We praise God for that. Of course, you have personal dealings to conduct with God. We respect that. Of course, you have come to receive the grace of God through His Word and through the sacraments. But the challenge is, what are you to be as a community here at St. Philip's, here in the Holy City, in the United States of America today, in our world? How are you going to be a light in the encroaching darkness? Jesus is God's Word, Jesus is God's light, and Jesus is God's love. You see, He says, I have come to save the world. You know, this is a theme that recurs in St. John's Gospel. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that the world may be saved through Him. A broken world, a tragedy-filled world, a world where people are broken on the inside. A world where relationships have been ruptured. That is the world He has come to save. And as you know, in the Bible, the word salvation is a word that includes the whole of the human condition. Body, mind, spirit, relationships, community, nation, everything. Nothing is outside the reach of God's salvific purpose. Nothing. Ubi caritas est amo, Deus ibi est. The choir has just wonderfully sung the introit for us. Yes, but this love of God is seen, focused for us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. It is only because of Jesus that we can tell, wherever there is charity and love, there is God. How do we know? We only know because of who Jesus is, what He does, what He has done for us, and what He has taught us. The salvation of the world as a working out of God's love for a broken world. A salvation that extends to everything about the human person and about human society. Nothing can be left out. Of course, it is true that there is a dark side to the picture. There can be no good news without there being bad news. I mean, we should be clear about that. Sometimes Christian preachers, in their eagerness to please everybody, pretend that there is only good news. But actually, the good news only makes sense if there is bad news. And the bad news is, we have rebelled against the very ground of our being. We have broken off that life-giving relationship with the one who has made us. We have chosen to remain in darkness rather than in the light of God. We have ignored all that gives meaning and purpose and sense to this world, to live in our own senselessness and prejudice. All that needs to be put right. And the work of the Christian community and of its leaders is constantly to bring the good news to people in the context of this very bad news that is all around us. You see, it's the bad news that makes the good news credible. Because we know that we need the good news. We cannot forever live as if we had no destiny, as if we did not need the wellsprings of our Creator to enable us to live authentically as human beings, as we were intended to do. So in the coming days and months and years, Jeff, as your leader, and others who have responsibility for you in this church, and you yourselves together with them, will need to work out how the good news is to make sense in a world full of bad news. And the focus of that good news will be Jesus Christ. Nothing else. And in a sense, Jesus Christ includes everything else that is worth including. The one who is God's eternal Word, the one who allows us to make sense of the world He has brought into being. Jesus Christ as the light of the world that makes it possible for us to be enlightened. That is the true enlightenment. And Jesus Christ who helps us to recognize true, healthful love in our relationship with God and in our relationships with one another. My prayer is that as you begin this new phase in your life together as a community, that you will indeed be a community of the Word, that you will indeed be light in the darkness, and that when you show forth your love for this community, it will be seen and known as the love of Jesus. Now to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, be all might, majesty, honor, and dominion, now and forever. Amen.